News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 807. On Mobile Mornings, the Mallory Piping text line, or if you want to call, 251-343-0106.
And thank you, GC. I'm telling you, with this team of texters, and it's been like this for years, we have the traffic info covered for you. But GC said, the traffic issue on 98 into Florida was an accident before the Bower Road intersection, and it was just cleared. So if you're traveling 98 into Florida, things should be moving along a little more swiftly now this morning.
Sounds good. Okay. All right. So now we have – so first we had Van Hollen went to El Salvador and
had a margarita with the MS-13.
Said he got set up by the people that whoever the wait staff was at the prison.
You think that was top shelf?
Put the drinks on there.
Top shelf tequila in that, or
well, you know, he said he didn't touch it, but you know, one of those guys says, "Hey, I don't touch the stuff." But, anyway, now you've got four more over there who are, I guess they're all congressmen and women of the Democratic persuasion, imagine that. Representative Robert Garcia from California says Democrats are organizing in El Salvador to ensure the release of 29-year-old Kilmar Abrego Garcia, despite allegations that he is a member of the MS-13 gang.
He's a Maryland father, right?
He's a Maryland father. You know, I mean, just let him take his kid to Little League. What's the big problem? You know, of course, he has already been, a fact that he's had his problems. He's a domestic abuser. He's a human trafficker in the great state of Tennessee, on and on.
I won't say I'm 100% sure he's MS-13. MSN 13 sounds like something different, but I'm about 99.9% sure he was in or affiliated with MS-13.
He seemed to be involved in that sort of activity in the state of Tennessee.
Yeah,
right?
As he was driving from Texas to Maryland with seven other illegals in the vehicle.
Yeah.
And Tennessee Highway Patrol, they called the FBI, and they were like, well, just take pictures of him and let him go.
That was still Biden.
Yep, that was under Biden's presidency.
So Garcia, along with Representative Maxwell Frost, Democrat from Florida, Yasmin Ansari from Arizona, and Maxine Dexter, Democrat from Ohio, they traveled to El Salvador this week to demand President Bukele release Garcia from law enforcement custody. You can demand all you want. If I was Bukele, I'd be telling him, kick some dirt and get out of here. He's already boys with Trump.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't need a bunch of Democrats coming over there telling him how to run his prison and who to put where.
Yeah.
This is interesting what Maxine Dexter had to say. See if you pick up on the same thing that that I noticed when she's talking about why they're there.
We want to keep this in the press cycle. We want to keep it in the public eye. We want people to understand the crisis that literally is right here, right now.
Okay.
Literally.
Literally, well, first of all, a couple of things there. She kind of plays her cards, you know, she shows you her cards. We want to keep this in the press cycle. Mm-hmm. We want to keep people talking about this. And also, I haven't seen that that Republicans do this too, so understand. They put a playbook together. It's got certain phrases and words in it. So calling this a crisis. See if you start hearing more and more about this is a crisis.
We've heard the constitutional crisis.
Constitutional,
right?
Crisis. Yeah. We've heard that over and over again. So let's see if that word pops up again. So they're over there. Some of you in the audience may think they're being very noble. There may be a couple of people in this room that think they look like fools.
Yeah.
But whatever you think, feel free. Mallory Piping text line, 251-343-0106. It just is crazy that as this goes. And if he comes back, isn't he just going to be deported again?
Mm-hmm. That's what Caroline Leavitt said the other day. She basically said there's no chance in hell that we're going to bring him back here. Of course, we've heard politicians and press secretaries talk in absolutes before and then be proved wrong. But I just so other than the fact that I'm incredibly disturbed that there are Americans and politicians.
And the American Civil Liberties Union, who I think, you know, the start of their name is America.
Yeah.
And so this guy is from El Salvador.
Yeah.
Or yeah. So anyway.
And so other than the fact that I'm disturbed by all of these Democrats that want to provide a process for us to just hear out these illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
Stack on top of that, gang members, mm-hmm. human traffickers, drug dealers. I mean, we've talked the last 4 years about the violence being committed by illegal aliens. Other than all that and how disturbed I am by that, I don't mind the Democrats dying on this hill. Because, at least in my mind, it is such an incredibly stupid thing to stump for. Because, like, David Hogg, who... he was elected assistant head DNC. I don't know what his official title
is. Yeah, I don't think he's the head guy.
Vice president, I think.
He's the most mouthy of them all. I mean, he's got a lot to say, and he's talking about some of the older members of Congress. Time to go.
And so he's like taking $20 million and trying to unseat some of these established Democrats, and the DNC's pretty PO'd about it. But he was on with Rince Priebus, the former...
Yeah.
Head of the RNC.
I saw that back and forth.
Priebus was like a cat playing with a cat toy. Like, that's how, and got, you know, had this David Hogg defending this MS-13 guy, just like so many Democrats are lining up to do. How do we feel about the photo op that Bukele decided to allow? Because, you know, when Van Hollen went down there and he said, they're not going to, you know, they put me on a 2-week wait list before I could see him. They finally, I guess, caved in a way and had this photo op, but without that, it would have taken us a lot longer to see the tattoos on Abrego Garcia's knuckles, which apparently the marijuana leaf on one finger, the smiley face on the next, the cross on the next, and then the skull with the three eyes stands for MS-13. Trump had a nice printed out picture of that with a map key to describe what the tattoos were.
Yeah.
I don't know if we would have gotten that, but I saw some people saying, oh, this is bad optics, that Bukele shouldn't have allowed that to happen. Now it looks like Van Hollen was kind of right. I think it was actually a pretty smart idea to allow that to happen. And you've got the pictures of Van Hollen kind of, you know, putting his hand over there on next to Abrego Garcia, and he's just so much care for this guy. When you had the mother of, was it Rachel Moren?
Mm-hmm.
In the
same state.
Same state, who said, they didn't lift a finger, they didn't lift a phone to talk to me about my daughter being brutally assaulted and killed by an MS-13 member, but they're willing to travel to El Salvador. Like I said, other than being disgusted that this is the way some Americans are thinking about this whole thing, I don't mind that the Democrats are doing this to themselves.
So it's Jeff Poore's job. I don't think I could do this, Dalton. I don't think I could do what he does. He watches MSNBC.
Mm.
He watches NBC, CBS, CNN
mm-hmm.
To see what's going on, to see what they're doing. I don't think I've got the stomach for it. I just don't even. I know a lot of Americans, fewer Americans are watching the legacy media. CNN's numbers are awful. MSNBC's numbers not very good either.
Mm-hmm.
So people are not as trusting of the media overall. That's probably how Donald Trump got elected. But I still can't. I can't watch it. Mm-hmm. I cannot watch their presentation of current events.
Yeah. You say that, but you do. You've got clips and stuff that watching of some of that, but you're not turning it on and watching for hours on end.
I'm finding those clips on YouTube and other places that are describing a more down the middle idea of what it is. Now, you can say right leaning, I trust more those sources than I do just sitting down watching the news like I did for decades.
Got to do it in tiny bites, not
very
full full meal.
Right.
And then you had this Supreme Court ruling, which happened basically when no one. I mean, I'm sure there were people paying attention, but Friday night,
Saturday
morning.
Yeah.
Easter, not
Easter
as many
weekend.
People paying as close attention, but that was a pretty non-conservative ruling from some of the conservatives, and Justice Alito, who was in the dissent, really blistered the rest of his court, including the conservatives who went along, which I believe was Roberts, the main justice there. And then I think Gorsuch, did he also vote along with it?
I think Gorsuch also dissented.
Okay, he dissented with him. So there was a really good article in The Federalist from Margot Cleveland, and I'll read her short resume to you. So she's a legal analyst. She's the senior legal correspondent with The Federalist, a lawyer, graduate of Notre Dame Law School. So she knows what she's talking about here. She served for 25 years as a permanent law clerk for a federal appellate judge on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, and also taught law. So she knows what she's talking about here. And it seems, so she said these are the 13 words that Alito, part of what he penned in his dissent, both the executive and the judiciary have an obligation to follow the law. And he was basically saying that the rest of the Supreme Court didn't follow the law in this ruling that came out Friday night into Saturday morning, with the Supreme Court's unprecedented, in his words, command that President Trump not remove a, quote, putative class of detainees under the Alien Enemies Act. The Supreme Court entered the order shortly after midnight Saturday morning after the ACLU, like you said, the American Civil Liberties Union, filed an emergency application asking for an emergency injunction, an immediate administrative injunction, a writ of mandamus, or a stay of removal to prevent Trump and the administration from removing Venezuelans to El Salvador pursuant to the Alien Enemies Act. So remember when the ACLU's first case about this came up and was more or less shot down by the Supreme Court? The Supreme Court said, you're in the wrong jurisdiction to bring this kind of a lawsuit. So they tried again and filed, she says, a scattershot request for relief in a federal court in Texas. Now, that came down. That lawsuit on Friday morning, I think, was just after midnight Thursday into Friday. And so they said the ACLU filed the habeas corpus complaint on Wednesday and then also sought certification of a class defined as all non-citizens in custody in the Northern District of Texas who were, are, or will be subject to the March 2025 presidential proclamation entitled Invocation of the Alien Enemies Act Regarding the Invasion of the United States by Tren de Aragua and or its Implementation. So while they did that, the ACLU also filed a motion for a temporary restraining order to prevent Trump from removing any aliens under that proclamation that he signed back in March. And then we had the Boasberg thing, right, where the ACLU filed that. This was before that first Supreme Court ruling. They filed in D.C. federal court.
Yeah, Boasberg working on a Saturday. Hanging around the office.
Just happened to be around the office that Saturday morning and took the case. And you had the Supreme Court rule then. So you're out of jurisdiction. So they try again. And before that court in Texas could rule, they had already appealed to the, I think, Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals and to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court made this ruling Saturday morning before either of those other two courts put their order in.
Yeah.
Which is apparently not how it's supposed to work.
Well, I don't know how to. These are big matters that everyone is watching closely. So how could the procedure be that out of whack?
I don't know. Maybe they're feeling the political pressure from the press or something like that. So you had. Let's see here. Friday, the ACLU filed a second emergency temporary restraining order, emergency motion for a status conference. That was at 12:34 a.m. Friday. By 12:48 p.m. Friday, they filed a second motion for an emergency temporary restraining order. 3:02 p.m. Friday, the ACLU filed a notice of appeal, attempting to appeal from the court's denial of its first motion for a temporary restraining order. And then by like just after midnight Saturday morning, the Supreme Court had ruled. While their order came out, at the exact same time, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals was dismissing the ACLU's appeal as premature. They said a court of appeals sits as a court of review, not of first view.
Huh.
So that federal court in Texas, which still hadn't ruled, the appeals court put their decision out at the same time the Supreme Court did and said, hey, you're kind of going out of order here. But the Supreme Court ruled at the same time a stay on these deportations. Alito said, literally in the middle of the night, the court issued unprecedented and legally questionable relief without giving the lower courts a chance to rule, without hearing from the opposing party, within 8 hours of receiving the application, with dubious factual support for its order, and without providing any explanation for its order. So Alito, with some really strong words in that dissent.
Very, very strong words.
About his fellow justices and saying they acted completely out of order on this.
Wood went down Friday night into Saturday morning. He's obviously not happy about it. I don't know how the other conservatives or the entire court itself. Also on the Mallory Piping text line, Gene says, patiently waiting for Bukele to get hauled in front of an international court for human rights violations and jailed. I don't know if you... Is that...
Well, I'm sure Gene wants to see it. Gene wants to see all those terrible El Salvador gang members and our own MS-13 that were sent... not our own, but the ones that were here. Yep. Trinity Aragua. Gene wants them all out and wants Bukele, who made El Salvador safe, in jail. Good one, Gene.
Gene, we'll make sure that... we'll get all those gang members and we'll get your address and they can be your yard crew. 822 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton. Good to have you along.
Say, no, you have to have a trial. The trial's going to take 2 years, and we're going to have a very dangerous country if we're not allowed to do what we're entitled to do. And I won an election based on the fact that we get him out.
There you go, Donald Trump, on the court delays, on what he's trying to get done. I think the alien, what was that, log in the alien?
Alien Enemies Act?
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of an end around. Let's face it. That was used in a creative way.
Yeah, but I mean, it sounds pretty germane to what the original foreign terrorists causing issues in the United States. We don't have the right to deport them.
And I didn't even think about this, but you know how you operate in other countries to do things to upend the apple cart a little bit. The fact that the Biden administration, did they go that far to be thinking about this, to allow not just migrants in, illegal, but gang members, to upend our society a little bit, to make people, groups, oppose each other?
Yeah.
Over immigration, over safety.
I don't know what...
How dark were their...
That's a good question, because I don't know what their actual intentions were outside of, you know, loading up their side of the ledger with votes.
Right.
But as plenty of people have been saying, we didn't take them in on a case-by-case basis to let them in illegally.
In the first place,
Now you got to case-by-case them to get them out of here. As far as the all the Democrat politicians visiting El Salvador, your friendly neighborhood banker said, who pays for these idiots to travel to other countries demanding release of these criminals?
Taxpayer money.
Yeah, I hope it's coming out of their own pockets.
Nope.
Nope. Gardner says, is it possible to keep those politicians from returning to the U.S.? Keep them in El Salvador.
You know what? They've got a prison over there. they're right outside the walls. That'd be kind of funny. Look what I found on you, Congresswoman. Cocaine.
Mr. Plott, texting on the Mallory Piping text line, said, don't worry, guys. Abrego Garcia can't come back in. He didn't get his hand stamped before he left. So, like he's leaving a concert or a game.
Yeah, right.
let's see. Joshua says... I'm running on my work creamer. It's a constitutional crisis. That one went over my head, Josh. I apologize. They down there on their dollar or taxpayer's dollar? That's from B-Dark. Yeah, it sounds like taxpayer dollar. I hope they keep going down there because it's just going to be a landslide victory for Republicans come 2026.
I don't know about that.
We'll get some James text and several more on the other side. 251-343-0106 if you want to jump on the Mallory Piping text line. .35 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Coming back to the text line here in a moment. 251-343-0106. And a lot of playoff games every night. The NBA and the NHL, but also Major League Baseball season underway and plenty more sports where that came from. And I love the Underdog Fantasy app with all of these games. And Underdog just became one of the best places to make entries during the basketball playoffs with their extender promo. Now, with this extender promo, you can play your way to increasingly bigger boosts each round of the playoffs. It works like this. You start a playoff series by using your game one boost, and then you can continue to boost each subsequent game to unlock the next boost. And the longer the series goes, the bigger the boosts. And that's one thing that's really cool about Underdog. One of many things is all these different promos and little kind of side games that you can kind of add on to your entry. Underdog is a leading place to make all of your sports selections. You can play in Alabama. I've been asked that a bunch of times, and I've been playing Underdog for some time now. Millions of fans have already won billions making plays on Underdogs, and you could be next. Their app has over 100,000 five-star reviews and millions of players. Very easy to both download the app and then play along. All you have to do is download the Underdog Fantasy app. It's in all of the different app stores. Once you download it, choose whether a player will go higher or lower on one of their stats. You can choose from, in basketball, things like points, assists, rebounds, of course, different statistics for different sports. And you can mix and match different leagues, different teams, different players. All you need is at least two different players, and you'll have your entry. But the more you add, the more money you could win. So download the Underdog Fantasy app and sign up with promo code Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N. You'll unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit. It's the Underdog app. Promo code Dalton. Must be 19-plus in Alabama and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. If you're concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
All right, to the Mallory Piping text line, 251-343-0106. C.B. Carl says, I still like the idea of trying to use the Logan Act against these moronic Democrats that are going down there to advocate for this thug. The Logan Act, by the way, it's a U.S. federal law prohibiting private citizens. Would they be considered private citizens or no, maybe not?
I guess not in that capacity.
I guess, well... So a private citizen is not supposed to engage in diplomacy with foreign governments without the authorization of the government. So
now they could have, I think, gotten Hunter Biden for that.
Yeah.
But when was the last time the Logan Act was used? I need to give that one a Google.
Okay. So anyway, yeah, they're going, but they are opposing the wishes of the current president,
mm-hmm,
and elected officials and his cabinet.
And even the polls, now some polls may be sliding kind of the wrong way for Trump, and I don't know how much weight we put on a lot of these polls, but as far as the immigration and the deportations, people are still pretty much in line with what Trump is doing. And that's a big reason why he was elected. Also interesting, some of the numbers in some of these latest polls, I don't have it in front of me, but the Gen Z, some of the people who are just now of voting age, 18 to 21,
yeah,
Trump is up big, right, with the men,
yeah,
and with the girls up like 4 or 5 points, which that never happens.
Yeah.
So 18 to 20, the younger generation seems to be more conservative than we're used to seeing younger generations.
And someone on the text line said, oh, so you trust Fox News. I didn't say I watch Fox News. I don't watch much broadcast news at all. I find independent, and you could say right-leaning, but I'm not a big advocate of anything on broadcast TV, but I find people who are able to convince me that they're in the right,
mm-hmm,
not on the right, but in the right. And that's so that when I find somebody like that, that's who I will then begin to follow over and over again. By the way, if you are afraid that you're about to be jailed over the Logan Act,
mm-hmm,
you're okay, Dalton. Although you could go do what you want to do, because although Congress has maintained the Logan Act in substantially the same form since 1799, no one has ever been convicted.
Seriously?
No one has ever been brought down by the Logan Act. No one.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would have never guessed that.
Nobody.
1799?
Yep.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Was that? I guess that was the year after the Alien Enemies Act that we keep talking about.
Yeah, that's right.
What a wild couple of years there. Dan and Daphne on the Mallory Piping text line says, this is what gets me about the Democrats with all the stuff that we could be doing in our nation to make it better. They're spending the time and the money and effort to go to El Salvador to try to bring back a criminal. I just absolutely don't get their priorities. You could say that about the Democrats. You could say that about the courts. And I don't understand. And again, I'm no constitutional lawyer. I'm no lawyer of any kind, so I'm sure some of you could fill me in. But I don't understand how one president, one administration, can allow just massive amounts of illegal immigration, and not just illegal immigration, but violent criminals illegally coming in, human trafficking, drug trafficking, raping, murders.
Fentanyl deaths with all this.
And you don't hear much of a peep out of anybody in the courts. And then Trump tries to fix the problem he was elected to fix, and we're not even talking about due process for American citizens. And we're not even really, at this point, talking about the due process of illegals who, other than being here illegally, which is wrong, other than that, haven't done anything wrong. We're talking at this point about pretty much bad, bad people that have been doing bad, bad things. And courts are putting up all of these roadblocks. And this is becoming a serious issue for anyone who wanted to see a lot of things done here in this Trump term. He's already more or less a lame duck president. Yeah. Can't be elected to another term. And even though he's been mentioning it, the polls really don't look good for that. Yeah. Even a majority of Republicans don't want to see Trump run for a third term. But if the Democrats take the House next year, which they're doing their best to lose with this whole illegal immigrant thing, Trump is just going to be treading water, and we're going to see more impeachments. We're going to see the same playbook, and the courts are certainly assisting in this, which I expect from a lot of these left-wing judges, but to see the Supreme Court in some of these actions, I'm just kind of at a loss for words.
You see Raskin the other day talking, almost threatening about when they regain power in the House, how they're going to come after people that are turning things upside down. Mm. But a lot of people would say they're turning the tables right side up. But in Raskin and some Democrats' view, this is all illegal, and they're going to make sure that those people pay. And he's talking about Republicans in office.
So if the Democrats did get their wish and they brought all these gang members that we sent to the El Salvador prison, what would they do? You know, my kids ask for things all the time, and sometimes things that I know they wouldn't really want, like when we're driving down the interstate and they want the window down.
Yeah.
And I finally put the window down and they get blasted with cold air and wind in their face. And they're like, put them up. What would the Democrats do if they just got their wish? Okay. Yeah. All right. Here they all are. Here they are back in America. Now what? Yeah. What would they do? Would they just put them back out into the public? Would they try to put them in our already overcrowded prisons, which they'd be staying at on the taxpayers' dime? What would they do if they got their wish?
That's the dog catching the truck, right? Mm-hmm. And what is their plan? They're not talking about that right now. They're talking about step one, getting them back. I don't think they've got a good answer for step three, four, and five. Two, three, four, and five. And so they're not even talking about that at all. That's a very interesting point.
Well, I think what that quote you played and commented on earlier, I think that's the whole idea, is just to keep this in the news cycle and try to act empathetic about these gang members.
That's right.
And try to get other Americans to feel as badly as they are acting like they do.
But can they,
other than that, I don't think they really need anything or want anything. I don't think they care about these people.
No, you're right on with that. They don't care. They don't care about these people. These people are props to them. Obviously props to them. You've got these four clowns over there right now. I'll play that quote again for you, but they've got the four members of Congress, Democrats, obviously, that are over there right now, and standing outside the prison walls, right? I haven't seen the pictures. I'm expecting that's what I would see if I saw it. This is Maxine Dexter. She's a Democrat from Oregon.
We want to keep this in the press cycle. We want to keep it in the public eye. We want people to understand the crisis that literally is right here, right now.
It's not a crisis, Maxine, but I guess it is to you. But they want to keep it in the press cycle. That's like just throwing a whole secret playbook right at you.
Yeah.
All of these immigrants are nothing more than pawns to the Democrats. You're right, but I don't know that they concede in gaining the numbers of people to feel the same. Well, I was going to say the same sentiment, but we've concluded they really don't feel that sentiment at all. They're just playing along. But can they turn the country into a very sympathetic group when the legacy media is not what it was 3 or 4 years ago, because they're the ones trying to tell the story and advocate for them, correct?
Yeah, and even funnier than you know, her saying quiet part out loud, which we all knew, Maxine Dexter, even funnier to me are those that are arguing that it's about the rule of law. It's not about these people. It's about what could happen to you.
Yeah.
Oh, me, the American citizen who's being legal, you know, and working and contributing to the economy, and I haven't murdered anyone.
I've heard Democrats, one after the other, take that angle with, hey, guess what? Mm-hmm. Here's a dirty secret. You could be next. Me? I could be next? Really? In what world? How?
Yeah.
Why? They're just implanting this fear, but they don't have any facts to back it up. And they're going over to another country saying, we won him out, but they don't have anything to really back it up. They're just grandstanding. Now, if he ends up coming back to America, I think for the most part, is this going to be the linchpin that's going to turn this thing legally over where suddenly Trump's plans are, you know, diffused altogether? I don't know. I would just see it. It's just grandstanding. If he comes back, he comes back. But they're making they're just making fools of themselves, and definitely playing these immigrants, including Garcia, just a pawn. They don't care.
It is grandstanding, but it's not just grandstanding, because I think it's allowing for these courts to make these rulings that are jamming everything up and getting in the way of the will of the people, which is to get these violent criminals out. Let's see, back to the Mallory Piping text line. Chris in Orange Beach, we all know they're flying to Venezuela on taxpayer dollars. Well, they're going to El Salvador, but yeah, point. The big question is, who in the hell approves the spending of this money? Jason says, I wonder why people like Gene hate Law and Order. Well, it sounds like he really loves Law and Order when it comes to Bukele. He wants to see him hauled in front of the criminal court, right, is what he said. He said his type's tune seems to change when the crime is at their front door, and I think Bukele is a hero. Jason, yeah, I'd say probably the people in El Salvador feel that Bukele's a hero. I don't feel that way. I don't really feel any type of way except for maybe a nod of the hat for him taking in these violent criminals.
Just, I think Jason may be speaking to what Bukele's done for that country. By he's freed up all these citizens by locking up all these criminals.
Mm-hmm.
And so to a lot of the people who are walking free and easy in El Salvador, he is a hero. Way before this whole thing ever came down, and he ends up on in the Oval Office, and he agrees to allow Trump to send some illegal immigrants to his prison. But what he's done for that country has been heroic.
If we were even went as a quarter as hard as Bukele did on his own criminals in his country, while keeping our criminals in our country, but if we were that proactive in getting crime off the streets, America would be such a better place.
Yeah,
and at this point, I'm even talking about just American citizens.
No,
and
I
keeping
get it.
Them jailed in America, but for longer times and harsher sentences.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not that way, which is so frustrating. Texter here says that is precisely what they did. The people Biden enabled hate you and me. He was so hungry for power and money, he was willing to do and say anything, was above the law, and he knew it. I think that's in reference to our conversation about, you know, what was the overall game plan for the Biden administration letting not just the illegal aliens in. I understand the big obvious reason behind that was to stack the voter rolls and keep Democrats in office forever, using illegal immigrants who somehow have gained the right to vote over time. But as far as the violent illegal aliens, these gang members, these terrorists, what was their intent by letting them continue to roam around America?
How dark was the plan? Because what they can do, have done to some degree, is create divisiveness among the citizens of the U.S. And that kind of craziness is the Democrats going to lap it up?
Gardner says the answer to why this is happening is Saul Alinsky, the 8 steps to communism, 8 levels of controls to transform a nation through socialism into communism. 1, control health care and you control the people. 2, increase the poverty level as high as possible.
There you go.
Poor people are easier to control and will not fight back if you provide everything for them to live. 3, debt, increase the debt level to an unsustainable level. That way you're able to increase taxes. This will produce more poverty. Gun control, remove the ability to defend themselves, people to defend themselves from the government. You can create a police state. Welfare, take control of every aspect of their lives because that will make them fully dependent on the government. Education, take control of what people read and listen. religion, remove belief in God from the government and schools because the people need to believe in the government. We'll get through these texts. Total BS that they hate Trump so bad they let their hate get in the way of our country. That's what Jay says. Thanks for the text there, Jay. Texter here, they should let those four Democrats down there bring back one MS-13 gang member and make them live with them. Will you hear me? Maybe a little text to voice text translation there. Well, they did just get that judge. Was he in Texas?
Yeah. Had an illegal, Texas or New Mexico?
Maybe New Mexico.
Illegal immigrant. Was it even a gang member?
I think gang affiliated. I need to double
living
check on
with
that.
Him.
Living with them. That's a strange story
That's
there.
That's a little boy toy.
I didn't say it.
I said it.
That's a weird one. But he quit. They had him dead to rights. He's like, I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, I tell you what. We need the daily newspapers back in our major cities so people can be embarrassed immediately on the spot.
Yeah.
That used to really work as a great deterrent.
I think so, man. You're spot on. Hey, 8:51, we'll check in with Jeff Poor here and see who he has planned for today at the State House in Montgomery on the way.
Dan Adelton, FM Talk 106.5, 8:54 on Mobile Mornings. We're just getting you started here. We'll talk to Jeff Ford just a bit and find out what he's got going on with his show.
Yeah, hey, quick breeze through the Mallory Piping text line. Dan, if they get Garcia released and he comes back over here and murdered somebody else, I can't imagine what would happen to those people who got him released. If other than lawsuits, I'd go after their family. Oh, yeah, Dan, you're very descriptive in what you do. Well, you know what would happen. Nothing. Just like many that have been released, and they continued to commit crimes after that. Dink says if they bring him back, he'll become a millionaire. They would start a GoFundMe page. News for you, Dink, they already started a GoFundMe page. Yeah. And it's got, I think, over $250,000 raised there.
That's great.
Could we charge the Democrats with kidnapping those gang members and bringing them back? Gardner, with that judge we were talking about, sent the story over. Alleged Trende Aragua member arrested at the home of the New Mexico judge's house. The Supreme Court banned him from any more judging activities.
Any other confirmation on the relationship between the two?
I haven't seen any official reports or unofficial.
Well, I gave my official report.
LV says MSNBC, NBC, ABC are not saying anything about his criminal activity, only that he's a good dad. He's in the union and he has a job.
Yeah.
Let's check in with Jeff Poor. Jeff Poor show on the way next, and he's from the State House, I believe, today. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on.
All right.
So 6 days, I believe, remaining in session after yesterday. You have the budgets that still need to pass. How are things looking from your standpoint?
I mean, this is to be expected this time of year with, you know, sort of frayed nerves and everybody wanting to get their bills through. You know the drill. But, I guess really the momentum sort of shifted a little bit when the Senate did what they did. They started cloturing Democrats, and that freed up the logjam, if you will. So it's sort of a mixed bag. There's still a lot of emotional displays out there, but it feels like since some of the stuff is moving, some of the hurt feelings aren't quite as bad.
It seems like this is not the time for the emotional displays, since the clock is actually ticking and they don't have time to play games anymore. Am I accurate with that?
Well, I mean, you got to, though. I mean, because the Senate won't pass House bills, the House won't pass Senate bills, so they get upset with each other, and there's a friction there. And there was like one bill, a Cherokee County ATV park, that Andrew Jones was insisting the House passed. The House member for Cherokee County, she did not want it, so they were at odds, and he was threatening to shut down the entire session. And, you know, typically Republicans don't cloture other Republicans, but you see how these disagreements can lead to these problems.
Yeah. Where do we stand on a couple of the big tax bills? I know the grocery tax reduction to another 0.3% to 2%, that's kind of still stuck, right? And then where were we with that overtime tax, and where they stand on that?
Well, I think the bill is still got to go through the process of committee and be read and get its all the feedback in the Senate. The Senate has been very reluctant to go with the House tax package. And when I asked a couple of senators about it, that they kind of felt like the House let them out of the discussion. So essentially, you're ending the overtime tax, which is going to be a political hit for no matter who they are, I think, in the Republican side. But the Senate has to bear the brunt for what the House has deemed to be a better play. And now, look, to be fair, the House has to start with these tax packages. That's where they start, in the House, because that's where the ETF is. Mm. But that seems to be, I would suspect, they're not going to walk away empty-handed. They'll probably get this done.
I think the most outspoken guest on your show about what goes on in Montgomery has been Dick Brubaker. He's like climbing into the ring, screaming from the top rope.
I want to know where this Dick Brubaker was when he was in the Alabama Senate. All these guys who are former senators. Now, like Trip Pittman's one who did mix it up a lot. But a lot of these other guys, they've sort of found like religion. Phil Williams a little bit. Once they leave the Senate, they look back and they're like, well, what did I just spend that 8 years or whatever of my life doing?
Oh, that's kind of disappointing to hear as a voter, but so accurate. Quickly, we have 20 seconds. Any big guests on today?
We'll kick it off with Parker Moore. He's a state lawmaker from North Alabama. Troy Stubbs from Wetumpka. I believe his father was an offensive coordinator at Alabama at one point. Huh. Danny Garrett, the ETF chairman. Jim Carnes, they got the big Birmingham Waterworks bill. And then State Senator Gerald Allen. I haven't had him on in a few years, but he's from Tuscaloosa. We'll talk about Trump there, and we'll talk about his mandatory national anthem legislation.
Hey, it's Sean Sullivan.